and we can cue that video.
Our Father in heaven.
Our Father.
Father in heaven. Hallowed be your name.
Thy kingdom.
Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done.
On earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread.
And forgive us who've sinned against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Amen. Amen. This is one of those Sundays I thought, oh my, I'm going to have to get up and preach after that. That was some of our Cornerstone preschoolers, by the way, reciting the Lord's Prayer, and serves as a fitting introduction to our new sermon series this morning on the Lord's Prayer. Before we get to the sermon, though, a couple business items. First of all, children. Parents, if you are dismissing your children to Children's Church, they may go at this time. They look very eager to do that. That's 3 to 3rd grade dismissing in the back, and they will return before the end of the service. Also want to remind you that the giving of our tithes and offerings is a proper part of our worship service. We no longer pass a plate. Maybe sometime soon we'll take that back up, but there's a box in the back, and of course you can see some other ways to support the work of the church on your screen there. A couple months ago, I'm like on slide 2 probably by now. We're just moving quick. It's the vision slide. We rolled out our new vision for the church a couple months back. Do you remember this? We've been starting the service with it. I hope it's beginning to sound familiar to you. It is our vision to see the love of God transform people into mature disciples of Jesus Christ who love God above all else and who sacrificially love others. And we said the heart of this new vision, we believe that God has given us for Cornerstone, is that little phrase, the love of God. The love of God. That's the engine, right? That's the powerhouse. That's what we're saying. We exist. We want to help people glorify God by encountering His love. And I know that's the testimony of many of us here this morning, that when we come to encounter, not just in a generic sense God, not just in a generic sense Jesus, but to experience His love for us, His mercy, right, His grace poured out on us through Jesus, that has a way of changing us, of transforming us. And so we're a couple months into rolling out that vision. We've identified some core values. We set 15 different ministry goals, some things that we are praying into, asking God to do in our midst over the next 5 years. Many of our ministry leaders, as I look out, I see many of you here, you're in the process this month of going through our vision and our ministry plan and trying to make sense of that for your own ministry. As I start this sermon series this morning, I want to remind you of one of the goals that we've set as a congregation. It's actually goal number 1, and it's this. We desire to become a people who are more deeply committed to prayer as a means of communion with God, fellowship with one another, and advancement of God's kingdom. We want to become a people of prayer. And that's really what is at the heart of this new sermon series we're beginning this morning, is wanting to press more deeply into prayer. Yes, to develop perhaps a more rich and more robust theology of prayer, but beyond that, we want to become a people of prayer, a people of prayer. And to do that, we're going to look at what's called the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is found in Matthew chapter 6 and Luke 11. If you have your Bible, we're actually going to be in Matthew chapter 6. It's printed in your bulletin, if not. It's called the Lord's Prayer. Many of us perhaps grew up in a church where this Lord's Prayer was recited, perhaps every Sunday. It's called the Lord's Prayer, not because it's a prayer that Jesus himself prayed. It's not the Lord's Prayer in that sense. It's the Lord's Prayer because it's the prayer that Jesus gave us to pray. As a matter of fact, parts of the Lord's Prayer really aren't even appropriate for Jesus to pray. For instance, we say in the Lord's Prayer to forgive us for our sins. That's not a prayer that Jesus needs to pray for himself. This morning, I want to look at the big picture. We're going to look at the Lord's Prayer in total, and then for the next 7 Sundays, I want to take this just phrase by phrase and press into this to consider what God has for us. And again, the goal is in part to develop a theology of prayer, but it is even more so to become a people of prayer. I'm going to attempt to preach a shorter sermon, no promises this morning, but I want to save time after the sermon for us to actually pray and to pray through the Lord's Prayer. That's why we removed the congregational prayer, because I think we learned to pray by praying. And so that's what we have to look forward to at the end of the service. And I just want to let you know that now, because some of you, we're going to have some dead space in the service, and it's going to be silent except for some music, and that's going to drive some of you crazy, and your minds are going to start to wander, because that's kind of what maybe prayer does. And so I want to ask you, just try to begin to prepare your mind and try to begin to prepare your heart now for that time of prayer that we're going to have as a congregation at the end of this sermon. But let me pray, and then we're going to read Matthew chapter 6. So let's pray as we come to a sermon on prayer. And oh my, you are so good to us, Jesus, and all that you have given us. I feel in particular the weight this morning of standing before your people here and proclaiming your gospel, proclaiming your word, but thinking about prayer in particular, because I feel in many sense my own spiritual depravity and know what a wrestle this is for myself. And so I pray that you would give me an extra measure of grace and give us an extra measure of grace as well as we seek to get to the heart of prayer and get to the heart of connecting with you. And Jesus, I pray that you would do a new thing in our midst this morning, that you would do something fresh, that something new stir within us. We know that your Spirit has been has been stirring here in many new ways, and we pray that would continue specifically this morning. So we give you this time, Jesus. Turn our hearts, turn our eyes to you. Amen. Amen. So our passage this morning is Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to focus primarily on the Lord's Prayer, but just for the sake of context, I want to read to you this entire section in the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus addresses prayer. So we're going to begin in verse 5 and go to verse 15. So hear God's word. These are the words of Jesus, of course. He says, "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who's in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Amen. Amen. So, looking at the Lord's Prayer and looking at it within the context of the Gospel of Matthew. So we need to pay attention to that. So let's just set the stage here a little bit. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus has gathered his disciples to himself, and he begins to teach them. Matthew 5, 6, and 7 summarizes this foundational teaching that Jesus shares with his disciples. Again, we know it is the Sermon on the Mount. And what is so striking about the Sermon on the Mount is that the ground that Jesus covers in many ways is familiar territory. There is so much in the Sermon on the Mount that's certainly familiar to us, certainly would have been familiar to the disciples. Those of you who know the Sermon on the Mount maybe could rattle off some of these topics. I mean, it's the law of God, it's the commandments, it's the kingdom of God, it's kingdom living. And so it's familiar territory. But because Jesus teaches with authority, he presents this familiar stuff, but it's with a bit of a twist. He says something new. So for instance, when he's going through the commandments and he gets to you shall not commit adultery, he says, you know, you've heard it said, don't commit adultery, but, right, he adds something new, but I tell you, everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in your heart. And so what he's saying is he's taking what's familiar and what we already know, but he's adding something new. He says, elsewhere in the Sermon on the Mount, you know, you've heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. And we say, yeah, I know that. Uh-huh. But I say to you, love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you. And so it's familiar, but he's doing something new. When we come to the topic of prayer, we should expect nothing less. Prayer for the disciples, prayer for many of us, is perhaps a familiar topic, but I think Jesus has something new to say. And I do assume. I assume this is a familiar topic. Let's just do a little. Let's do a little survey here, just to see how we're coming into a sermon series on prayer. How many of you? How many of you know that it is God's will for you to pray? Like you know that part of the way that God's wired you, He's made you to be in a relationship with Him. He is pleased when you pray. How many of you know that that's God's will for you? Almost everyone has their hand. Most of you know that. How many of you, you believe not only is it God's will, but you believe that God hears you when you pray? That we, through prayer, have an audience with the Holy God. How many of you believe that? You would affirm that when I pray, I believe that God hears me. How many of you, not only do you believe that God hears you, but you believe that God responds to you when you pray? Maybe not always giving you exactly what you want, but there is a response from God. How many of you would say, I believe that? It's remarkable. The overwhelming majority of us, according to this very scientific survey I just took, believe that you acknowledge that it is God's will for your life to pray. You believe that when you pray, God hears. You believe that when you come to Him, not only does He hear, He responds. How many of you would say you are satisfied with your prayer life? You would say, Pastor, look to me, and I will show you how to pray. Now that's interesting. That's interesting. We just went over all the basics. It's all right up here in our head. But isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting when it comes to working that out? Very few of us would be so bold to say, I feel satisfied in my prayer life. That's interesting. As we start this series on the Lord's Prayer, I want you to hold that in your head, that this is, in many ways, prayer is something that is very familiar for us. We know, quote-unquote, all the right answers, and yet we still struggle, don't we? We struggle to do it. So I want to invite you, to listen with new ears, to really listen for what Jesus would have to say to you on this important topic of prayer. And we come expecting, right? We come expecting that God is doing something new in our midst. That's a promise that He gives us. Behold, I make all things new, says Jesus. He's doing something new in our church, and I think in our lives. And as we give ourselves to prayer, I hope that we experience that. So this morning, I want to look at just in a very general sense the Lord's Prayer. Take the bird's eye view. The next seven Sundays, we're going to take it phrase by phrase. The Lord's Prayer, I believe, is in some ways a prayer for us to simply pray, simply to read through, not in a mindless way, but it's a prayer for us to pray. But I think even more than that, it's a pattern. Jesus, in giving us this instruction of the Lord's Prayer, gives us a pattern for how we are to pray. And so that's the big idea. That's what's in my head as we're going through this, is that this is a pattern. This morning, we're going to look at five lessons the Lord's Prayer teaches us. And I want to ask you, which of these do you most need to press into this week? So look at five big ideas from the Lord's Prayer, but I want you, as you walk out the door this morning, to have that one idea, that one lesson, that one thing, maybe hopefully from the Lord, for you to press into. So let's get started. Number one, lesson number one, prayer needs to be taught. How's that for obvious? Prayer needs to be taught. Now, we remind ourselves again of the context of the Lord's Prayer, that this is part of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is teaching his disciples. Remember, Jesus has, he's got 12 disciples, right? He's got this group of men that he's gathered to himself, and Jesus had, 3 years with the disciples. Very critical time with the disciples. He's going to establish his church through that group of 12 men. And so everything that Jesus has to say to them, everything that they're doing with Jesus seems pretty important. You know what never happens as we look at the disciples' time with Jesus? Nowhere in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, does Jesus ever sit down with his disciples and teach them how to preach. Isn't that interesting? Nowhere in all four, any of the Gospels, does Jesus sit down with his disciples and teach them how to preach. And we know the centrality of preaching. He sends them out to preach. We've just studied Acts, and we've seen the centrality of preaching God's word. When I was in seminary, I had an entire class called preaching. Nowhere does Jesus sit his disciples down and teach them how to preach. Nowhere does he sit them down and teach them how to heal the sick. Nowhere does he sit them down and teach them how to cast out a demon. He does, however, sit his disciples down and teach them what? How to pray. That's fascinating. He doesn't explicitly teach them how to preach, but he teaches them how to pray. Prayer needs to be taught. Prayer needs to be taught. And yes, I get that it needs to be caught as well. There's things that we learn simply by doing, but it needs to be taught. I was reflecting on this just this morning. You know, I get up early on Sunday mornings to try to have a time of prayer and settle my heart and settle my mind. And I was sitting in my chair this morning just thinking about just honestly how unnatural prayer is for me. And that's a humbling thing to confess as I begin a sermon series on prayer. You know, I've been walking with Jesus for 20 plus years right now, and I'd say when I have an issue that I'm dealing with, and I have a lot of issues I'm always dealing with, my tendency is, I'll find somebody to talk to about that. That's good. I'll find a book to read about that. Many like to read books. I'll go find an article to read about that. I love to journal, so I'll journal about that. I'll go to my Bible, and I'll see what's in God's Word about that. But you know what? The last thing I tend to think about is what? How about I pray about that? And that's remarkable. I've learned that lesson I don't know how many different times, that it just doesn't come naturally. I can be wrestling with an issue for weeks and then finally realize, you know, I haven't actually submitted that to the Lord in prayer. There is something that, yes, it's natural because it flows out of relationship, but there is something about prayer that is not natural at all. We need to be taught how to pray. For some of you this morning, maybe that's what you need to press into. That, Lord, teach me how to pray. Teach me how to come into your presence. Would you give me a hunger and a thirst for you, for righteousness? So observation number one, lesson number one, prayer needs to be taught. Number two, prayer is a means, not an end. Prayer is a means, not an end. And this is, what do I mean by that? It's, we don't pray just to pray, right? We don't pray just to pray. Prayer serves a greater purpose beyond just praying. It's like, like eating breakfast. I love food. We love eating breakfast in the morning or whatever that meal is. But the point of, you know, eating breakfast isn't to eat breakfast. It's to provide nourishment for your body. You might still perfectly enjoy the food you eat. There might be delight in that, but there's another purpose for why we eat the food that we do. There's this greater purpose. Prayer is a means, not an end. See, the problem is when many of us decide that we're going to take up prayer, our focus can become on prayer itself rather than the other thing that prayer points us to or connects us to. I think we should think of prayer like, it's more like a window, right? And the point of a window isn't to stare at the window itself. It's to what? Right? It's to help us to see the world beyond the window. And I know, many times in my life, as I say, I'm going to take prayer more seriously, I end up just staring at the window. We just stare at the prayer itself without taking time to realize prayer is a means to connect me to my Father. It's a way of connecting myself to God. Would you just sit in that for a moment? That prayer, do we really believe that? That prayer is the means that God has given us to connect with God. The point of praying is not praying itself. It's to connect me with God. And I think we all need to wrestle with this. As I wrestled with this week, I was thinking about, for instance, the very good rhythm I think that we have in my family of, you know, praying with our kids before we put them to bed. But very often I can make that just another thing to do. Let me just say this prayer real quick. We're going to rush through it, and then you're in bed, and then I have free time. But the point of prayer isn't prayer, right? How would you begin to pray differently if the point of prayer wasn't prayer? The point of prayer isn't just to pray. The point of prayer is to connect with God. Do we really believe that? Do you really believe that when you pray? What would change in your prayer life if you really believe that? Okay, Jesus, I should show you where this is in the passage. Jesus begins the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. He gets us right to what the heart of prayer is about. Our Father in heaven. The point of prayer is not prayer. From the very first words of the Lord's Prayer, Jesus establishes that it's about relationship. Now, next week, we're going to look at just how absolutely radical this is for Jesus to teach his disciples to pray to God as Father. And that's a sermon again for next week. But it's sufficient for us today to notice that prayer is about relationship. It does not exist for its own purposes. It exists to connect us to the Father. It exists to connect us to God. So what would change in our prayer life if we really believed that? Number three, prayer requires faith. So prayer needs to be taught. Prayer's means not an end. Prayer requires faith. Prayer requires faith. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And this is maybe one of the reasons that prayer is so difficult for us, is because it requires faith. Jesus calls us to pray to our Father, but our Father who is in heaven, the Father who we cannot see with our physical eyes, and there is this faith that's required for us to pray. Faith is not the power of our prayer, right? That power lies in God and God alone, but it is through faith that we lay hold of that power, it is through faith that we believe that, yes, we actually believe that God hears us when we pray. We believe that God responds to us when we pray. And another teaching on prayer, Jesus said it even more clearly, Mark chapter 11, he says, "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours." We need to pray in faith, believing that God hears us, believing that God will answer us. This addresses, listen, that quiet cynicism, I believe, that pervades many lives of Christians, that we pray, but we think, I think in the back of our head, it doesn't really matter. Nothing's really going to change. God's will is going to be done anyway. Now, this is interesting, though. Jesus, in the Lord's Prayer, teaches us to pray that God's will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. We lay hold of that through faith. He tells us, you pray that God's will is done right here as it is in heaven. What we learn by this is one of the means that God accomplishes his perfect will on earth is through prayer. One of the means that God accomplishes his perfect will is through our prayer. And we're going to press into that in another sermon as well. But the big thing that we need to get, I think, today is that it does require faith. I cannot pray as the cynic, as if it doesn't really matter. I need to pray and to believe that our prayer does it does reach God's ears, and he will respond to us. So prayer must be taught. Prayer is a means, not an end. Prayer requires faith. Fourthly, prayer involves surrender. Prayer involves surrender. You know, when we think about prayer, I think maybe we naturally think about that faith element and the boldness that we need to have to press into what God has for us. When I think of prayer, sometimes I think of the imagery of spiritual warfare, right? That is part of what we're doing in prayer is the work of the kingdom, is spiritual warfare, is seeking to see God's kingdom advance, to be reminded that it's, you know, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against the rulers, the powers, the principalities of this dark world. First Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20, Paul says, the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk. It's a matter of power. And we lay hold of that power through faith, through prayer. There's a wrestle that is involved in prayer. We think of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, sweating blood as he's praying to the Father. There is this real work that's involved in prayer. But at the same time, prayer requires surrender. It requires humility. Look at that in the Lord's Prayer here. Jesus says, you know, this is how you ought to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He teaches us to pray to God as a father, and that makes us his children. Jesus says elsewhere that we ought to come to him as a little child. That we have that humble stance as we pray. We pray your kingdom come and your will be done. This is much of what prayer is, not only laying hold of things in faith, but joyfully and willfully surrendering to him, giving up my desires to God. You know, look up here for a moment. Very often when we pray, a lot of times we've been taught to, you know, clasp our hands together. And I think that's an appropriate way to pray. It puts us reminds us of to whom we're praying. We're laying hold of those things. But I don't think it's inappropriate at times when we pray to unclasp those hands and to come with open hands, to take that posture of surrender. Nevertheless, you know, not my will be done, but your will be done. So prayer involves surrender, involves giving up my desires to God. Okay, fifthly, finally, and just very briefly on this, but prayer touches all aspects of my life. The Lord's Prayer teaches me that prayer should touch all aspects of my life, large things and small things, spiritual things and material things, inward things and outward things. You know, he prays here, you know, we address God as Father, but we are reminded that he's in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Sanctify your name, God, and give us this day our daily bread. Feed us food. Your kingdom come, but also forgive us our debts. You know, there's nothing too big. There's nothing too small for us to take to God in prayer. It touches all aspects of my life. So there you are. There's just five quick lessons on prayer that, number one, it needs to be taught. Prayer is a means, not an end. Prayer requires faith. Prayer requires surrender. Prayer involves all of my life. Which of these might God be pressing into you? Which of these might God want to press into you this week? I'm really excited over the next 7 or 8 Sundays to be pressing into the Lord's Prayer. And so trying this morning just to give you just a taste of that. But one of the convictions we have is that we don't maybe need any more knowledge about prayer. What we need to do is actually to pray. So I'm going to invite our praise team up. And I'm going to lead us right now into a time of private and quiet prayer as we learn to pray through the Lord's Prayer individually, but corporately as well, as a congregation. So we're gonna go through this. I'm gonna give you some prompts, and I'm gonna invite you then to use that space to actually pray. And let me remind you, this is a battle. Some of you right now, you're already checking out. Your mind is already somewhere else. Resist that. Be present here. We want to do that hard spiritual work of prayer. And then we're going to say the Lord's Prayer together, and then we're going to finish the service with a couple songs. So let's just take some time right now to prepare your heart, and then I'm going to just lead us line by line, share some words, and then give you space to pray, pray those prompts. So pray with me. For you individually, but gathered together as your body, we come looking to you as our Father in heaven. We come asking for your name to be sanctified in our hearts and in this congregation and in this community and in the world that you've sent us out to. And so would you hear the prayers of your people this morning as we call out to you as Father, as we ask for your name to be made holy. That you speak truth and love into our heart. It is you and your presence who draws us. Even as we seek to call out to you as Father, we recognize we need your Holy Spirit to make us come awake, to teach us what to pray. We turn our prayers right now to your kingdom come. And your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We come now to do that hard work of wrestling, to looking to you, to asking for your perfect will and for your kingdom to grow, to be established in our lives. Hear the prayers of your people in this topic. And now we say, Father, give us this day our daily bread. We ask you to meet our daily physical needs and our spiritual needs and our emotional needs. Would you bring those things to mind that we might offer them up to you in prayer right now? Having encountered your goodness and your holiness and your provision, we are reminded as well of our debts, of our trespasses, of our sin. So now we call out to you and pray for forgiveness, to forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors, those who have sinned against us. Hear those prayers now, we pray. Into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We turn our eyes now towards the future, towards what might be coming our way. Do hear these prayers offered up to you in faith. Father, would you continue to stir within us through the presence of the Spirit of your Son, the Holy Spirit, who's at work in our hearts, revealing not only our sin, but revealing your mercy and your kindness. And as we sang this morning, your goodness poured out to your undeserving people. Lord, I pray that you would fan a flame deep within our hearts to sit in your presence, to be with you, to be with you as the body of Christ gathered here. That you would, this morning, as perhaps we've tasted for the first time in a while, your presence, your holiness, the sweetness and tenderness of what it means to be with you, that you would fan that flame, that you would give us a holy hunger for you, that you would really and truly make us a people of prayer, a people not puffed up with their own self-righteousness, not impressed with their ability to engage in spiritual disciplines, but a people whose hearts burn for you. Would you drive us more and more on our knees, that we would experience your love that transforms us, that changes us, that empowers us, that sends us out, and all for your glory, God, that your Son Jesus would get the praise in our midst and in this congregation, that you would be lifted up and exalted in our hearts and in this church. Lord, would you teach us to pray? Would you teach me to pray as we give these things to you? We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Will you stand now and let us recite together the Lord's Prayer as it's printed on the screen before you. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, and deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen.